confident that we're going to meet our goal of May 30 to have change of circumstance working, the technology working to do that the way we always expected to do. That's going to be a huge relief for all of us. Second piece is that there's really two technology challenges ahead for Vermont Health Connect. One is change of circumstance technology working by the end of May, which Optum is working on right now. So far, I'm happy to say they have met every deadline we've given them, unlike our old contractor that we got rid of. And they've done it below budget every single time. So we're optimistic that's going to work. I met with all the players last week. We continue to be optimistic about that. But it's got to work. Second, in October, we've got to be ready. We have to have the technology working for re-enrollment for 2016. So what that means in plain English is we just closed the 2015 enrollment time, the time that you can sign up for this year. Now we've got to improve the technology so that it works better for 16, and that deadline for having that technology working for us internally is October. What we're saying is we're going to ask the legislature to put in statute the contingency plans that we've always had in place, but have it absolutely be transparent for Vermonters, since everybody is frustrated with where we've been. And basically what we're going to ask the statute, what the legislature to do, is to simply say, you know, these are the two milestones that we really got to meet, and there's some others, but the big ones are end of May, change of circumstance works, end of October, the 16 technologies in place for the automated renewal process for 16. And if we don't meet those expectations, we will pursue the alternatives. What are the alternatives? There are really two alternatives. One is the federally supported state-based marketplace, which is what Oregon and Nevada have done. The other would be the federal marketplace. Now, we all know that there are some challenges there. And by the way, we would say, you know, we'll give updates to Joint Fiscal Committee whenever they want them, but if any of these milestones aren't met at the November 15 Joint Fiscal Committee meeting, we'd have to make recommendations for where we go, because you'd have to do that in order to be ready for 16. So we all know what the challenges would be, and they're no different than what we just discussed before. The Supreme Court will decide in June, we hope, whether you can get subsidies through the federal exchange. We all know that the federal exchange can't deal with Vermont subsidies. So many, when I put that in plain English, many Vermonters are relying on additional subsidies to the Affordable Care Act that was passed by Congress that does two things: brings down their premiums and brings down their co-payments when they actually go for service. So we'd have to figure out how to deal with that. And finally, we would have to make sure that it would actually save Vermonters money. So that's sort of the plan going forward. Again, I want to emphasize, we're confident that we're going to meet the milestones, that the exchange is going to work, but we also want to be absolutely transparent about the backup plan if it does not.
Why are you making this announcement today? What's happened that has prompted you to do this? I mean, this is unusual.
Well, you know, I think what's prompted me to make this recommendation is that there's a lot of frustration out there. I hear it all the time from folks who are trying to change circumstance. And I really feel strongly that Vermonters should know our contingency plans, and that the legislature should have the peace of mind that we've got a plan that's very specific should we be disappointed by technology challenges going forward. And Vermonters deserve to know what the plan is.
Well, you say this is the contingency plan that's been in place all the time. But, I mean, come on, realistically, you've been so all
in. No, that isn't what I said. What I said is we've always had contingency plans for the steps along the way that we've had to deal with the challenge that we've had with the technology. What I mean by that, to be specific, is when it didn't work for business, we had a contingency plan for them to go directly to MVP and Blue Cross Blue Shield, so nobody lost coverage. With all the challenges that we've had with Vermont Health Connect, we had to have contingencies so that nobody lost coverage. So I'm saying that we always have contingency plans for any of these technology advancements, which you've got to have responsibly. This is ours for these next steps.
Okay, but I would say, generally speaking, you've been all in on this exchange. Fair to say?
Absolutely.
And you're saying today that you're prepared to abandon this if it doesn't work.
Well, I've always said that if it doesn't work, we have to have a plan to deal with any technology challenges that don't. And I, you know, with all the frustration we've had, and there's been a lot of it, we've always had a plan to get Vermonters the service they deserve. Let's not forget, we've cut our uninsured rate in half in this state because of the Affordable Care Act. And so that's really important. Now, the other point to make is, so literally, we're down to 3% uninsured. We're competing with Massachusetts for the lowest uninsured rate in America. And we cut our uninsured in half. Now, you got to know that we've got to complete the website anyway in order to serve the over 100,000 Vermonters that are currently getting Medicaid coverage. So it's really important to know we can't just desert. The work that we've done is providing a really important purpose. One is we hope it works for all Vermonters, and second, it's got to work for our Medicaid recipients, which is over 100,000 of the 625,000 people in this state.
244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. I'm still confused here. If you think that this company that's come in now is going to get the job done, why do you even need to set these benchmarks?
Because they're
why not just see if they can and get the job done?
Because I think we have a responsibility based upon the frustration and the history to be able to, for every Vermonter and frankly every legislator to know that we've got a plan if it fails.
Is there anything you want to add? Okay. Lawrence Mueller, the head of healthcare reform, is also here as well. Is there anything else on this topic that people should know about?
Not really. We're hoping to have this drafted so that we can, we'll be presenting it to the House Healthcare Committee, to Representative Lippert's committee today. And we're looking forward to having the legislature put it in statute.
And if I understand you right, if there does have to be a change, you'd rather go to this modified system and not the full federal exchange.
Yes. However, it's important to know that there's no simple conversation here, and there's question about, since that was never authorized by the federal bill, whether those arrangements that Nevada and Oregon have made are statutorily legal as well. So there's some challenges there too. There's no simple solutions, but the answer is yes. We think the modified plan would be the best choice for Vermont if we had to make this choice at all, which I don't think we will, if we were to make a choice.
And that,
and reasons for that is that it allows us to uphold our insurance standards. It allows us to do a number of things that we think make our plan better than the federal.
Let's talk about some other issues that are happening here this week. A lot of discussion in House Appropriations, a lot of discussion in the tax raising committees as well, too. Let me get your thoughts on this idea of a property transfer tax being used to clean up the lake. You like that idea?
I think that that proposal is a thoughtful one. And, you know, we're going to obviously come out of this legislature with a mix of plans to pay for cleaning up our waterways. And, you know, the thing about this debate, Mark, is if I go to a room of Vermonters and say, hey, raise your hand if you're for dirty water, no hands go up. If I then say, raise your hand if you want to pay for it, if you want to help pay for cleaning it up, no hands go up. So our challenge is, we all want clean water. We got to get this bill passed. We cannot have the most beautiful state in America with blue-green algae in our lakes that stinks so bad you don't want to get near it in our shallowest waters, and that you obviously is killing our fish, killing no desire to swim there. I mean, it's really a challenge. So we got to pass this bill. I'm open-minded on financing, and you know, obviously there's some things I like better than others. I think using some portion of the transfer makes sense.
The other idea that seemed to come up this week, or got more life this week, is this idea in Representative Ansel's committee, the House Ways and Means, this idea of capping deductions. This would be in addition to the idea that you presented where you couldn't take your state income taxes from the year before as a deduction. What's your feeling about this one, capping deductions?
So here's our challenge. We proposed an income tax change that raises $15 million where we're taking away a deduction that serves no altruistic purpose. It's not trying to reward behavior. So in other words, we said, listen, let's get rid of this crazy thing where we say you can, no good purpose where you can deduct last year's Vermont income taxes from this year's tax return. And we'd already started with that several years ago by limiting it. Now we're just saying, let's get rid of it. The challenge we have with the other deductions is pretty simple. They serve a very important purpose. I mean, you have the charitable deduction because Vermont has more charities per capita than most other states in America.
Yep.
We all support them, and we want to encourage people to give to charity. We have the home mortgage deduction because we want folks to own homes. So my point is, I am not going to comment on every single idea that this legislature comes up with, but let's not do damage to the tax incentives that drive home ownership, drive charitable giving, and that allow people, when they get really high medical expenses, to not be able to write them off on their taxes because they've just gone through real illness in their family and they're having trouble paying their bills. So these deductions were put in place for really good reasons. And to me, you've got to have really good reasons to take them away.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. Let's go to Plainfield. Mary Lou, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I have a couple of comments I would like to make. One of them is this business about us being the most charitable state. When I was in college, one of the things that they really pushed is to start a nonprofit if you wanted to be rich. Out of that top of that nonprofit comes your vacations, your home, your house, all on how you work your books. And whatever's left goes to whatever the cause is. I was also on the committee in town that for several years that suggested to the town which nonprofit to contribute to, which I think is a sad way of doing it. I don't think it should be done that way, but that's how we do it here. And several of them, we cut them back or cut them totally out because the majority of the money was going to not the cause. They had a bunch of people working for them that were volunteers that were doing the work, but the people who were sitting behind the desk that started the nonprofit were getting rich.
Right,
so that showed what I learned in college was true. The other thing has to do with our education tax. I have been involved in our school system a lot. I will go to the school board meeting. I will ask, why do we have to have this? Why do we have to have that? And the word is they tell us in Montpelier we need that. So then when I listen to the politicians talk, they say the reason for the higher education is our local school boards. But the local school boards take and blame it on Montpelier. I wish there was some kind of information available to the public. So when we go to a school board meeting and they say, oh, Montpelier said we had to have this, we have something in our hand that says Montpelier didn't say that.
Okay, let me interrupt, Mary Lou. Mary Lou, let me interrupt you. You put a light out there on the table. Let me have the governor respond. Thank you for your call.
So thanks for the call. I'm not familiar with the college course you took. All I can tell you is that, you know, the folks at the up at Camp Tecumseh that are ensuring that kids with cancer get a really extraordinary summer experience. Boys and Girls Clubs across the state that are serving low-income kids that really need opportunities. The various AIDS projects across the state that are helping folks deal with AIDS. These folks aren't making money. They're not getting rich. They're serving the Vermont public. They're serving those who are hurting. And we have a lot of nonprofits in this state that really rely upon the extraordinary generosity of Vermonters to help their neighbors and help their friends. And I got to tell you, I think our tax deduction helps that cause. Second, in terms of the transparency and education information, I agree with you. I think it would be great if we had use technology to allow folks to actually know what are real mandates from the feds and what are real mandates from Montpelier and, you know, what are not when folks go to town meeting. Because you're right, there's a tendency for, frankly, Montpelier to try to blame local folks for raising spending and for local school boards and communities to say, oh, this is all Montpelier's fault. And frankly, it's all of our faults, and we've got to solve the problem together.
Let's just circle back here on this health care announcement you're going to be making today. So why was this announcement not appropriate to make, say, I don't know, a month or 2 months ago?
Well, I think the answer to that is simple. The best vehicle for a bill to put this in statute so the legislature knows that they're part of this process, understands the plan, is either the appropriations bill or the health care bill, and those are going to be hitting the floor next couple of weeks. So we've been developing a contingency that we think will give Vermonters peace of mind, and we thought it was a good time to do it.
Okay, if I'm the legislature, I'm almost thinking to myself, I'll let you deal with this. Why? I don't even want to sign on to it or get involved. Why would the legislature want to touch this hot potato?
Well, they've also got to report to their frustrated constituents that there's a plan to deal with Vermont Health Connect if things don't go as we expect them to go. So I think for most legislators, they're going to feel like, hey, I'm glad that the administration worked with us to come up with a contingency, make really clear what it is, and have a plan if we get another technology challenge that's just going to, you know, drive us all crazy. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I want to make that clear. But, you know, if I were a legislator, I'd want to be able to say, hey, yeah, we understand your frustration. Here's the plan to deal with it if there is further challenges going forward. God knows we've had plenty of them, and I'm glad to have a plan in my hand.
Let me take one more call. Dave in Mallets Bay, good morning.
Morning, Mark. How are you today?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I had a question for the governor, and I haven't been listening to his whole interview with you, but I know that in an effort to balance the budget this year, there's been an effort made to renegotiate the state employees union contract. Basically, I think they're looking for $10 million in cuts there through maybe pay reduction and staff reduction. And I'm just wondering if there's been any look at the executive branch government, cabinet head, department head, stuff like that, and the governor himself, and maybe making some wage reductions there.
Okay. So, all right. Thanks.
So, you know, they never report good news, but the fact is that myself, Lieutenant Governor Scott, my chief of staff, we didn't take our pay increases last year because we were concerned about the budget. So the answer is yes, anything that state employees do, the executive branch will also do. And I just want to point out, I haven't taken my raise because the challenges we had last year and a number of my folks didn't as well.
I had a caller this week who is quite upset that you are continuing to wear your Vermont State Police jacket and at the same time talking about cutting dispatchers and thought that was an insult.
Well, you know, we got to decide whether we're going to balance our budget and be fiscally responsible and make some tough choices, or whether we're going to continue to have a budget that spends at a higher rate than Vermonters can afford to pay. And I know that there's plenty of consternation and disappointment with the $15.5 million worth of efficiencies that I proposed as part of closing this $112 million gap. And you can find an argument with every single efficiency we propose. But, you know, the other side of this, Mark, is I constantly talk to Vermonters and say to me, how come you're not making government more efficient? Why do you always ask us to pay higher taxes? How come you can't figure out a way to run your ship, as businesses have to do, in ways that are smarter and use technology and other things to get the job done? So, you know, my job as governor is to balance this, and I think we came with a balanced approach. We proposed some revenue that I just outlined. We proposed lots of cuts, and we proposed efficiencies. And, you know, this dispatch one, I get it. If, you know, I understand why this huge disappointment for the dispatchers that will lose their jobs. I'm very sympathetic to that. You know, we're going to work really hard to find them other jobs. But if we can save $1.7 million and maintain public safety at the same levels that we always have, which we can, you know, you got to say to taxpayers, hey, we can save you $1.7 million every single year, not just once, but every single year. So, you know, you're talking real money. And the only reason not to do it is because we're going to lose some state jobs. Well, you know, I just don't think very, very many Vermonters would say, hey, Governor, you know, that's a good plan. We'll keep spending the $1.7 million unnecessarily because, you know, some folks are going to, you know, have some tough choices. And it is tough. I'm sympathetic to that. But we've got, my job was to make tough decisions. That's why I signed up for it. That's why I'm honored to have the job.
Last question. Joe Benning, though, makes the point that why take the jobs out of the kingdom and move them to Williston, the most populous county? Is there a way you can, I don't know, keep the one in the Northeast Kingdom and close something else?
So the answer is we looked at that, and the particular dispatch center that we, first of all, the argument is send it, keep the jobs in Northeast Kingdom and Rutland, and don't put them in Chittenden County and in Windham County. The challenge there is that the particular dispatch centers in the Northeast Kingdom can't easily be expanded. The Rutland one doesn't exist. In other words, there's a dispatch center there now, but in order to increase the size of the two that we're going to have to increase, right now there's on the books the hope of building a new state police office center in Rutland going forward. That hasn't been funded yet. We haven't worked it out. We don't know when that'll happen. So the beauty of our plan is that we can put them in Williston without major changes, and we can put them in Rockingham, where we're currently in construction building a new PSAP.
Thank you for your time this morning. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Governor Peter Shumlin. We'll take a short break here. Coming up next, Senator Tim Ash will join us. We'll be back at the State House right after these important announcements.
Hi, Chris Davis from Twin City Subaru. We're inviting you to come by and see for yourself why we have customers coming back year after year. Not just for the great deals, like saving up to $3,500 off a 2000.